Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast on Tuesday, the 20th of August. Coming up today, we have plenty of crime news from across the county, and we'll also hear from a local councillor on why an abandoned prison in Kent should be brought back into use. First up, taking a look at our top story today, a court's heard how a mum and young son hid behind cars outside their home in Deal after her knife-wielding boyfriend chased them into the street. It happened in Stockdale Gardens last February. Lucy has been taking a look at the case.
A judge at Canterbury Crown Court says Joshua Bruton was drunk when he turned up at his partner's home and accused her of cheating on him with one of his friends. He apparently began pushing, shoving and punching her while threatening to knock her out. She managed to escape with her young son, but her boyfriend then followed them out into the street. He was seen by a neighbour topless with a knife, saying, "Where are you? I'm going to get you."
And that must have been a really scary experience for the victim and her little boy.
Yes, absolutely. He was heard saying, "Mummy, I'm scared," as they hid in dark alleyways and behind cars. A victim statement read out in court from Bruton's now ex-girlfriend says she hasn't slept in months. She claims her son is still crying and confused and doesn't want to go to school as he doesn't feel safe. She says threats from her former partner have also left her too worried to go out.
So what sentence was he eventually given?
He's been jailed for 1 year and 10 months, and once released, he'll be on licence and subject to a 10-year restraining order. The 25-year-old from Cliftonville had carried out the attack while out on licence for stabbing a teenager in 2020, an offence which landed him a 4.5-year sentence. He's been recalled to prison to serve the rest of that time as well. A mitigating advocate says he suffers from mental health issues and is now back on medication.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A woman's told a court how she was attacked by a dog that tore her cheek apart at a farm in Sevenoaks. Jane Brown works as a horse welfare officer, and she says she was visiting the Beachmont site when she was bitten on the face by a German Shepherd Husky crossbreed in April 2021. The dog's owner, a 35-year-old Charlotte G from Horns Road in Hawkhurst, is on trial for a charge which she denies. A Gillingham man who burgled his old school and repeatedly stole from three stores in a six-month crime spree has been sent to prison. Nathan Palmer was identified through DNA after the thefts at Robert Napier School, as well as B&M Bargains, Aldi and Co-op shops. The 28-year-old, who has no fixed address, told the court he only stole to live. He's been locked up for 12 months. A ride at Dreamland in Margate has been forced to close after holes appeared in the wooden tracks. Video at Kent Online shows the damage that happened while people were on the scenic railway. The roller coaster first opened in the 1920s. Bosses say a full investigation and repairs will be carried out. Kent Online been told there are currently no plans to reopen an old Kent prison despite the current overcrowding crisis. Blantyre House in Goudhurst was closed in 2016 and has enough capacity for 120 prisoners, but it remains empty. It comes as the government yesterday activated Operation Early Dawn, which means prisoners will be left on remand in police cells rather than being placed in packed prisons. Lucy's been chatting to County Councillor Sean Holden.
I think it's obvious that Blantyre House could be brought into use. I don't know what the condition of it is. It's been empty for about 8 years, 7 or 8 years. If we have this kind of emergency, then obviously we could turn to that. The conditions may not be everything that they're supposed to be, but we have an emergency. People are being kept in police cells. So it seems to me right that locally we should be able to turn to that.
And obviously you represent people living in that area and residents. What are their thoughts on Blantyre House? Are they frustrated that it's sitting there empty?
And if they're frustrated or not, people are puzzled as to why it's just been left there without being used. Why the government doesn't sell it if they're not going to use it at all. That's a matter for the government. People are puzzled and don't understand. And I'm sure most of them will think, well, that seems to be a sensible use of the building in the current prison space emergency.
I think the Ministry of Justice have said that it's obviously an older building and it's not up to standards for, you know, housing prisoners. What would your response be to that?
We have an emergency going on and people are being kept in police cells, which I'm sure are also not up to prison cell standards. So for the duration of the emergency, people should have to put up with less or lower standards, I believe. Maybe they can cycle them through so they don't leave it just to one set of people for the whole time. But Necessity is the mother of invention. They should be looking at that.
I suppose another issue might be staffing levels as well. I know they're looking at Cook and Wood in Rochester, potentially reopening some spaces there. It was a young offenders institution. It's going to be reopened as an adult prison, and they're kind of bringing that forward. But there have been some concerns there about whether there are enough staff, because obviously if we bring Blantyre House back into use, that would need a lot of staff.
Yeah, that's a matter for the government. But if they are putting people in police cells, I guess they have to be staffed. They have to deal with it to make sure that we have the number of prison cells that we need. I think the previous government should have been building more prisons a long time ago. If that's what we have to do, they can refurbish it. I don't know what they're going to do exactly, but it is an opportunity there to help in this emergency case.
A spokesperson for the Ministry of Justice says the former HMP Blantyre House is an older building, now dilapidated and insecure, that would cost taxpayers a disproportionate amount of money to bring back into service for only 120 places. We are building thousands of new prison places, including four brand new prisons, to address the demand for prison places and make prison more effective at cutting crime.
Kent Online News.
The final 31 Ted Baker stores, including in Ashford, Canterbury and Bluewater, are expected to close by the end of today. More than 500 jobs are at risk after a rescue deal fell through. Elsewhere, four tile shops in Kent are closing for good after a supplier went into administration. CTD Tiles has agreed a rescue deal with Topps Tiles, but they're still shutting 56 stores, including Tunbridge, Maidstone, Canterbury and Ashford. Around 270 people have lost their jobs. Two Shaun the Sheep sculptures have had to be removed from a trail in Maidstone after they were damaged by vandals. The statues in Fremlin Walk and Brenchley Gardens were targeted over the weekend. Charity Heart of Kent Hospice say they're heartbroken and it could end up costing them more than £10,000. The Transport Secretary has been invited to see congestion at the Dartford Crossing as the government considers whether another tunnel should still be built. The Lower Thames Crossing has been in planning for years, but Labour are taking a closer look at major projects and how much they cost. It's thought private investors could be asked to help fund the £9 billion project. Local MP Jim Dixon has been speaking to Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV.
The Lower Thames Crossing is a vital piece of national infrastructure, which is why I'm so pleased that it remains a sort of a key part of a national infrastructure overview being taken by the new government. I'm extremely pleased that it appears that the Treasury are looking positively at a financing solution which matches public funding with private sector funding. But it's not only national infrastructure, it's also vital to people in Dartford who, over many years, have experienced gridlock roads, huge delays every time something happens in the crossing, and tailbacks result from it. And really, the solution to this via the Lower Thames Crossing can't come soon enough. So there are very encouraging moves happening at the moment. And I am supporting the government in taking a positive view of the crossing. And I, for instance, have already spoken in Parliament on it. I intend to host a reception during the next month or so. I've asked for a further debate solely on the Lower Thames Crossing. When we have the planning decision on the 4th of October, I'm looking forward to a positive decision from the Department for Transport, who will be looking at this. And then we can go forward and really look at how we finance this and get it built as soon as possible. And I'm hoping that that may well be in the next sort of 6 to 7 years. I know that seems a long time, but that's quite quick in national infrastructure terms. And I'll be pushing every step of the way for that to happen.
I know I've spoken to your colleagues in the Labour Party up in Gravesham, and I know they have concerns that it's in the wrong place. I think there's general support for it, but I think it's going to come out in the wrong place. I mean, do you think it is in the right place, or do you think that actually we need to look at actually where it is coming out into Kent?
Well, there's been a very, very long process. This is sort of 10 years plus in the planning, lots of different routes, a huge amount of consultation, in fact, three separate consultations going back many, many years. I think the documentation runs into thousands and thousands of pages. So every angle has been looked at. There are always winners and losers from a big project like this. Overall, it benefits us as a nation in terms of economic growth. It benefits North Kent and its economy. It certainly benefits the people of Dartford. There may be some people who don't like the final route chosen, but no one can say that hasn't been looked at in huge depth and everybody's voice heard. So my message to the populations living in and around the chosen routes are, by all means, keep making your voice heard. But I think it's no one can say this hasn't been a fair and a comprehensive process.
You said you're holding a reception. Was it this month or next month you're holding that?
In September, is a reception in Parliament, which I'm co-sponsoring and I plan to speak at. I've asked for a debate in Parliament as well. I've already mentioned the project as a urgent need for Dartford on the floor of the House, and I'll continue to use any means I can to highlight how important it is. I've invited the Secretary of State, for instance, to come to the Dartford Crossing and view for herself the current overcapacity of the facilities there in order to spell out to her the importance of an additional crossing east of London. And I know those messages are getting through because of the positive noises we're hearing both from the Treasury, but also from other parts of government.
A decision on its future is set to be made in October.
Kent Online News.
A woman who posed as a big issue seller in Sheerness High Street has been arrested for shoplifting. The magazine is meant to help people who are experiencing homelessness, and all valid sellers must have ID. The 22-year-old suspect was stopped by officers and was in possession of a bag of stolen goods, which were returned to the boot store. Work has started on a new training centre in Ashford to help firefighters learn new skills and techniques in the wake of the Grenfell tragedy. The site on Henwood Industrial Estate is being transformed into one of the country's most modern and innovative facilities. Work is expected to be completed by 2025. Plans have been submitted for 40 new homes in a village near Ashford. The owner of the newly reopened pub, The Bull Inn, has welcomed the news, saying the new estate in Bethesden would bring in extra trade. Developers say it would help the borough council to meet housing targets in the area. Meanwhile, Netflix star Ashley Walters has secured permission to extend his Kent home after having two previous bids rejected. The Top Boy actor wants to transform his bungalow in Herne Bay, and it has been in a battle with local bosses since 2022. Other designs have been refused because they weren't in keeping with the area, but the latest plans have been given the green light.
Kent Online News.
A Canterbury student who was diagnosed with MS has become the first person in Europe to be recruited for a new drug trial. It's hoped the treatment will slow progress of the neurological disease and reduce the damage it does to the brain. Zhongwei Liao found out he had it in February after suffering double vision. He's been speaking to Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV.
At the end of February this year, I woke up and I saw everything in double vision. But at first, I'm not really thought they're really serious, because I just thought if I cover just one of my eyes, everything keeps the same and there's no pain, no itches, everything except the double vision, it keeps normal. So I'm just do as what I'm normally as. And I also booked the eye care to check it, so I'm not really take it seriously. And then one day when I went to my painting class, my painting teacher, she thought it's really seriously, because it is something about eyes. You know, for those painters, they think the eye problem as a really a serious thing. So she recommended me to the hospital in Ashford. I think it's the Williams Harvard Hospital. And then I went there, and after a day, the hospital said I might highly diagnosed as the MS. So that's what the story was.
And how did that make you feel when you found out that you have MS?
Well, the first time I knew this, I mean, I was really weird. So what thing is it? Because I've never heard anything about this. And then I searched Google and I found it is a little bit, well, might the Google, those websites, they might said it's a really serious one. So when the time I saw the news, my hands was shaking. But then after I read it more, and also the doctor in the Williams Harvard Hospital, they explained me this, they introduced me to this. I just found that it might not be a really serious one. Well, maybe in 30 years. So I just took everything as common as normal, just do what the doctor they told me. Yeah, that's it.
And then coming across this trial, how did you come across it, and was it an easy decision to take part in it?
Well, to be honest, when Dr. Harry the doctor here. He told me this and asked, what's my idea? Well, I just think that it is okay because it is said that it is in the phase three of this trial, so it means that it has already been tested for a amount range of population and for many times, for many different places. And according what my doctor family members, they told me years ago, like the every child they have different phases, and phase three, it means like it might be like perhaps 99% safe. So I think that's okay. So when Dr. Harry, he also told me that I'm the first one here. So I think, well, maybe it means the first one in this hospital, or maybe just in the Canterbury area. I do not took it a really serious thing. So I think it is just an easy decision. Yeah,
absolutely. And then, I mean, how does it feel then being a part of it now, knowing that the work that you're helping with is going to help potentially so many people in the future?
Well, I think, I'm proud of that because finally I can do some contribution, because I'm not like my other family members. They are doctors, so they can cure people, keep other people's health, so do something which I think is meaningful for the people. But so for my work, the engineering work is just the work for the machines, which is, it might be not really necessary for human health. But I think because I'm taking the trial, I can do some contribution to others' health, like my family members. Yeah, I can say I'm proud of myself.
The trial's taking place at the Kent and Canterbury Hospital. Gemma Hector is a research nurse and involved in the study.
So all of the patients on this trial will be receiving an active treatment. It's either the standard treatment that they would have outside of the trial or the new drug, and then we basically can compare the two, and we're comparing them in terms of patient symptoms and also their MRI results to see whether the new drug is actually more effective and more tolerable than what's already on the market.
And then just finally, how important is it that patients such as Jiang Wei are getting involved in trials like this, because you do need a wide pool of people, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think without patients taking part in trials, we just wouldn't have an evidence base to say actually the treatment that we're offering is the best treatment we can offer for you. And that's ultimately, as healthcare professionals, what we want to be able to say to our patients. So we're super grateful for all of the patients that take part in all of our trials and historically have done, because they're basically pushing medicine forward and progressing the treatments that we can offer our patients.
Canterbury has been named as the UK's slowest city for broadband speed for the second year running. Experts say on average, residents receive just 22 megabytes. That's less than the bare minimum offered by the most basic superfast broadband packages. The city's historic cathedral is often blamed for the bad signal and Wi-Fi issues in the high street due to restrictions on building anything that obscures views of the landmark. A zero emissions fast track bus route in Kent that was meant to start last autumn still hasn't been launched. The flagship service has cost Kent County Council £34 million and is set to run between Dover and Whitfield. There's been no explanation of the latest delay. Local bosses insist details for a potential start date are being finalised. A Kent GP surgery that was once named one of the worst in the county has been rated good by the Care Quality Commission. Green Porch Medical Centre in Sittingbourne was twice put in special measures in 2022. However, after the latest inspection between May and June this year, officials said it was well led and had a strong focus on learning and making improvements. And this weekend sees the return of Sittingbourne Carnival after a break of 5 years. For the first time since the pandemic, the historic parade will take place this Sunday. 40 entrants are confirmed to be taking part, including bands, dance schools, gymnastics clubs and nurseries.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the draw has been made for the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. Ramsgate will host neighbours Folkestone Invicta, while Sittingbourne will face Dover Athletic. Larkfield and New Hythe are in the FA Cup for the first time in their history and have been drawn at home to Cray Wanderers. You can see the full list on the sports page of our website. A cyclist from Maidstone who won 3 Olympic medals for Australia is now joining the British team. Matt Richardson was born in Kent and moved to Western Australia when he was 9. He got 2 silvers and a bronze in Paris. Paris and has decided to change nationality, saying he's ready to begin the next chapter of his career. Kent actress Rose Ayling-Ellis is going to be the first deaf person to present Paralympics coverage. The former Strictly winner and EastEnders star from Hythe will host a show alongside Claire Balding for Channel 4. She says it's a big challenge but is really excited. The games start in Paris next Wednesday. And you're being asked to nominate your sporting heroes in Medway. The town's annual sports awards will take place later in the year with Junior Club of the Year, Team of the Year and Overall Sports Person being recognised. The winners will be picked by a panel including Paralympic gold medalist Charlotte Evans and Olympic gymnast Gary Smith. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.